party in Vegas where a guy named Anton, an escort that gets apparently, allegedly, passed around celebrity circles, was banging somebody, possibly a celebrity's wife, in January in Vegas. And there was 7 to 8 people just sitting around the hotel room watching, some that were celebrities. The defense attorney argued, we need to have these names public, otherwise this is not a fair trial. And Maureen Comey, the government, was like, no, we have to protect these names. Why? Oh, it's because it's the same thing she did during Ghislaine Maxwell. That's why we never got any names. So, people can speculate, but right now the judge decided to agree with Maureen Comey. We're not getting the names.
James Comey's daughter always seems to be a part of everything from Epstein to the highest echelon of cases. Why would Comey's daughter be allowed under Pam Bondi's Department of Justice? I would have removed her immediately. Immediately. Not just because of the case, but because of the information that they learn while they investigate the case. See, not everything that they know, they prosecute.
I said, I think it'll be like all the other cases, and she'll put on a show trial, and they'll limit all the information, they'll suck up all the witnesses, and then all the lawsuits filed on Ghislaine Maxwell, all the lawsuits on P.D., all the other lawsuits on NXIVM and all, I mean, it's just hundreds of organized sex trafficking pedophile cases, not just Epstein, get sent to her. And then her daddy famously controlled the files and used it for control, just like J. Edgar Hoover did. The CIA would find pedophiles, not just in Afghanistan, but other countries, and put them in charge as mayors and as council members and as village leaders, because they found they were the most loyal and didn't even want money. They just wanted kids. But they would get angry and say, we want more Viagra. That was in the news, that the CIA had to fly in cases, pallets of Viagra for all the mayors in Afghanistan and had to supply them with little boys. This is their management system. This is how they control things. You know the people going to Epstein Island and Zorro Ranch and Peter Nygaard, similar facility in the Bahamas. They know they're going to be videoed raping kids. And it's not 15, 16-year-old girls. That's because in these cases, they limit it to those girls.
Epstein told me he worked with the CIA. The FBI tried to get me there to interview me. They only wanted to interview me in person. They would not interview me over Zoom. They organized emergency visas for my son and I. They were arranging for us to be put in first class flights, 5-star hotels. But my child's father wouldn't let us travel. So thank goodness, in fact, because a lot of weird stuff happened with a lot of the girls who were interviewed by the FBI. And it's just, it's very frightening. Like I said, not just for the victims, but for everyone in the world when we're all being lied to like this.
4 months ago, Bondi raided it like she said she'd do. The day after she learned it happened, they refused to turn it over. They kicked the FBI head out. The FBI raided the FBI. And then Bondi did the right thing, talked about it on the TV, sent the files out. And then I've talked to the FBI, multiple sources. They said, yeah, almost no one is volunteering to go watch it or investigate it. And I can't blame people at the end of the day. I would want to go look at 14 terabytes of kids getting raped. But some of them signed up for that, so you know, they're stepping up. But why aren't hardly anybody reportedly willing to investigate? It's not just that they don't want to watch kids getting tortured. You think they want to take on the globalist Bill Gates and people? The King of England? They know your family gets killed. So the reason we've gotten in this position is that evil understands that and gets people to commit such horrible acts that then society just doesn't even know how to process it. And then when evil gets away with that, all these other evil people see it and join in and they like it. And they go, my goodness, this is a free reign. And the evil grows and grows and grows and grows until it brings down society. We're going to go over the edge into a cultural, spiritual black hole. We're basically already there.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
It's Monday, July 14th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Returning from a week of vacation, and what a week. What a week it has been, folks. Really wish I had time to go back over the last 7 days of developments on a number of different fronts. We'll get into some of it. We'll do a little tour of the last week or so of the Trump administration. What a wild ride it's been. Obviously, Epstein dominating the news cycle. We have some other major revelations today about the Biden administration, as well as a number of other just major news topics to get into. Very happy to be back. Thank you so much to Chase for holding the fort down in the meantime. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 14th of July, 2025. Biden says he made Clemens decisions that were recorded with AutoPen. That's the headline the New York Times decided to run with. Well, what it actually means is that the pardons that Joe Biden supposedly signed in the final hours of his administration were not actually signed by him and were, in fact, signed by the AutoPen. And this is a very disturbing series of events. Trump and his allies have begun investigations to support their claim that Joseph R. Biden was incapacitated and his staff conspired to take presidential actions in his name. Towards the end of his term as president, Joseph Biden reduced the sentences of nearly 4,000 federal convicts and preemptively pardoned dozens of politically prominent people he saw as potential targets of vindictive criminal investigations by his successor. Former President Biden is escalating his battle against Republican claims that he might not have been in control of high-profile clemency decisions issued under his name at the end of his term, and more generally, that his cognitive state impaired his functioning in office. In an interview with the New York Times, Mr. Biden said he'd orally granted all the pardons and commutations issued at the end of his term, calling President Trump and other Republicans liars for claiming his aides had used an auto pen to do so without his authorization. But, of course, they did use an auto pen to do so without his authorization. That is, in fact, true, entirely true. Again, we'll get into this. The entire Biden administration was a gigantic puppet show, and that is becoming incredibly clear now. Another interesting development in the it's like the Biden scandal, but it's the entire presidency. It was like all one big scandal. It was like a whole bunch of scandals that make one big Megatron scandal. That was the entirety of Biden's administration. Another interesting wrinkle to this is that the former White House doctor who said his medical evaluation showed he was that Biden was fit to serve. This White House doctor invoked the Fifth Amendment to avoid answering questions from lawmakers last week. What? He cited the Fifth Amendment to avoid testifying about Joe Biden's mental acuity in his time in office. Now, the Fifth Amendment is only there to prevent people from convicting themselves in criminal cases. So what exactly was he up to in that he's invoking the Fifth Amendment to avoid talking about his official work as a White House doctor under Joe Biden's reign? We'll get more into this later. Stay with us. Of course, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania. And we've learned practically nothing since then, except for what was obvious, that it was a complete and utter failure of Secret Service. But also that, like, what we have learned has just made everything infinitely more suspicious. Things like the fact that there were no fingerprints on any of the utensils in the guy's house when it was searched, and that he had apparently connections to foreign accounts that have never been elucidated. There is a new report from the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, and it outlines the massive security failures 1 year ago in Butler, Pennsylvania, that nearly killed President Trump. This from Gateway Pundit. Secret Service failed to discipline agent at heart of security failures in Butler, Pennsylvania. Agent warned 25 minutes before the shooting that Thomas Crooks was on the roof with a rangefinder. And you would think that it would be like impossible for there to be even more, you know, forewarnings about the events that day on Butler. But it seems like there's more and more information coming out that's showing that, like, a week before they had a credible threat that they could have acted on, 25 minutes before they saw him, a couple hours before they caught him with the rangefinder, there were many, many, many times that this could have been prevented earlier on in the process, but it wasn't, and he almost died. But thankfully, for the sake of Israel, he was spared. And that's been the main, like, comment I've seen on far-right Twitter. Because so far it is true. And again, we'll get into just the real catastrophe that the Trump administration is devolving into. And you have to ask, what is he doing actually to save America? Because it seems like America is going down just as quickly as ever. And even in just the last few days, from Ukraine weapon transfers to expediting visa processes for illegal workers in places like farms, seems like we're sliding backwards in a lot of ways. And we'll get into all of that. Speaking of Trump to send Ukraine offensive weapons in Russia, in Russian war, sources say President Trump will announce a new plan to arm Ukraine on Monday that is expected to include offensive weapons. Two sources with knowledge of the plan tell Axios sending offensive weapons would be a major shift for Trump, who had until recently been at pains to say he would only provide defensive weapons to avoid escalating the conflict. So yes, we will now likely be sending long-range missiles that could reach targets deep inside Russian territory, including Moscow. However, there has not been a final decision. Apparently, according to Lindsey Graham, Trump is really pissed at Putin. His announcement tomorrow is going to be very aggressive. It's going to be so aggressive, you guys. You just wait. We'll show you a video from Lady Graham a little bit later. She's quivering in her boots about the prospect of more dead Russians. It's just so wonderful. And, I mean, it seems like, I don't know, America is almost acting like a pit bull being backed into a corner. Like, in just the last week, we've not only allowed Israel to, you know, expand its war in really dangerous ways. We'll get to that in just a second. We're now talking about sending long-range missiles to Ukraine so they can bomb Moscow and other targets deep inside Russia, definitely escalating that conflict there. And we've also made unrestricted guarantees to Taiwan that we would defend them and actually start obliterating Beijing if anything were to ever happen to Taiwan. So it seems like our enemies are all sort of encroaching on us, sensing weakness, smelling the fear in the water. And we're lashing out at them and, you know, trying to bully them back into position. I don't know if that's such a good idea, frankly. And we'll get into sort of what the real course of history that the powers that be intend for us to take into the future. Because long story short, what's happening right now is that the usefulness of the West has been expended. And they're downsizing it. They're foreclosing on the West and basically setting America up to be destroyed in a giant war as the center of power moves towards the East in the setup for the one world government to be managed out of Israel. And speaking of Israel and their, you know, expanding war provocations. Iranian president lightly wounded while escaping Israeli attack. Iranian president Pezakian suffered minor injuries in an Israeli airstrike on a meeting of the Supreme National Security Council in Tehran on June 15th, a senior Iranian official said. The assassination attempt targeted the heads of the three branches of government in an effort to overthrow it, said the official, speaking on condition of anonymity. This attempt will not pass without Israel paying a price, he told Al Jazeera. The strike was carried out shortly before noon during a meeting attended by the heads of the executive, legislative, and judicial branch of the government, along with other senior officials. The semi-official Fars News Agency says also reported new details on the assassination attempt during Israel's 12-day war with Iran, which was first announced by the Iranian president in an interview released on Monday. So yeah, Israel is bombing the Iranian leadership in an attempt to decapitate that nation. Because they're just the worst. They really are just the worst. And we'll again get into more of what Israel's doing. Most of what we're going to talk about today is going to be about what Israel's doing, whether it's building concentration camps or just continuing to murder Gazans by the thousands as they wait in line for clean water to drink, or bombing the Iranian president, or blackmailing American politicians with Jeffrey Epstein material. Or helping to wage the war against Ukraine against Russia as a proxy battle for the domination of the Israeli cabal of the Western world. We'll get into all of that and hear from Haaretz is a headline that I think is sort of typical of the conflict as it's existed over the last couple years. Israel wants to build the most moral concentration camp in the world. I'm going to read that again. Israel wants to build the most moral concentration camp in the world. For President Trump's attention, when the person submitting your name as a candidate for the Nobel Peace Prize is promoting the construction of a concentration camp into which the entire population of the Gaza Strip will be herded with no ability to leave unless people choose to immigrate, it's not clear whether he's being a sycophant or sabotaging your candidacy. There's a lot of that sort of thing happening right now where it's like, is what's happening here real, or is this some sort of crazy double play where it's like Netanyahu is nominating Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize? And as Haaretz, says, it's not clear whether he's being a sycophant or sabotaging your candidacy. And it's basically the same thing with like Epstein and Israel, where it's like, did you want the outcome of this to be a massive awakening as to the incredible control that Israel and the Jewish lobby exerts on America? Because that's how you do it. Because if you wanted that to be the outcome, you would do exactly what you've done. Now, I don't think that was the intended consequence, but it is the inevitable one when you have the Jeffrey Epstein case and the Trump administration just torpedoing its own credibility and sincerity, sacrificing itself on the altar of Jeffrey Epstein. You got to ask, like, is that legit, or is this some sort of weird self-sacrifice that the people of America wake up? Because that is what's happening. We're going to show you some videos of people like Tucker Carlson at 2PUSA over the weekend. And you can hear from the cheers in the crowd just how the average Trump supporter feels about the influence of Israel on American politics. And this has got to be a moment of panic for the Israeli lobby overall. And I'll explain what I think is happening here and why I think it's failing, as is tradition in America. The two-party system can be extremely useful for manipulating the public. In fact, it's probably the most brilliant mechanism of widespread manipulation the world has ever seen. And it's an old one. You can look back at the Byzantine Empire, and they had faction, the blue and the green faction. And it didn't really mean anything, but, hey, the blues want this. And the greens are like, well, then we don't want it. And you just control people that way. It's really very simple. And that's what they're very much trying to do right now with Israel and Jeffrey Epstein. It's not really working, though, and it's obvious why it wouldn't work. And it's kind of bizarre they would even try this. I mean, let's be clear. The left does not care about Jeffrey Epstein. They don't care. The Democrats do not care. It was mostly Democrats that were involved with him. I mean, the one key figure in American politics most closely associated with Epstein is Bill Clinton. So they haven't really, they've never cared about Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody on the left has ever cared about Jeffrey Epstein. Let's just make that very clear. And in fact, it's almost absurd to see them pretend to care about him now. I mean, people like Jamie Raskin never said word one about Jeffrey Epstein, never talked about the, you know, little girls being trafficked, never talked about the, you know, his association with technocrats or high level politicians, never cared about the blackmail operation that was being run by Mossad for the benefit of Israel. It just never had word one to say about any of that. And then Trump comes out and is like, hey, we're dropping the Epstein thing. And suddenly Raskin is like, we need an investigation into this. Because the moment, hold on, wait. Could we go back to that image? We just saw Bill Clinton shaking hands with Jeffrey Epstein. I think I saw something. Okay, that's not Rabbi Shmuley. I thought maybe on the left that was Rabbi Shmuley. We got Ghislaine Maxwell on the left, on the right. For an instant, I looked up and I really thought I saw Rabbi Shmuley grinning like a gremlin in the background. But no, that's some sort of shark-human hybrid I can see now. It sort of looked like him in first blush, didn't it? He's missing the pubescent beard. Really marks him like a clown. The whole two-party thing isn't working this time. What they're trying to do is take a partisan stance on Israel and Epstein. It just doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. The right wing has always been the anti-Jeffrey Epstein, the expose the pedophiles party. It's actually a pretty overt distinction between the two sides that the Republicans are like, oh my God, our entire government is controlled by a bunch of pedophiles. And the left wing says, shut up, you're all conspiracy theorists. Now put your kid in a dress. So they've never cared about this. So how they're trying to portray this as a partisan thing, blaming the Democrats for the Epstein file, we'll get into it. We'll get into just how little sense this makes and the way in which the two-party system is not serving its purpose as far as the powers that be are concerned. They're supposed to be able to say, oh, you want to get Epstein? That makes you a Democrat. We're all supposed to say, but I'm not a Democrat, though. I don't care about Epstein anymore. Well, though the leftists are against genocide, then I'm for it. That's just not working anymore. Now, at the same time, there doesn't seem to be a lot of cooperation between the left and the right because the leftists are insane, violent psychopaths that have to be eradicated from this country if we're ever going to succeed, well, exist, let alone succeed. So, you know, we'll get to that. But it would seem like right now the primary motive of the bad guys, the Jeffrey Epstein types, if you will, their main motivation at this point is to keep the two sides separate. Don't let the right and the left unify when we both realize, hey, we both don't like foreign governments controlling our government. Hey, despite our differences, we're American and they're not, which means we're on the same team and we're against them. They don't want Americans coming together like that on the left and the right. So their motive here, and they're actually taking, you know, the vulnerability of something like the Epstein files, and they're trying to jujitsu that. They're trying to, you know, turn that around, invert that, and make it a strength by causing it to be a dividing wedge between the left and the right that only serves their purpose. So I think the main thing now is to understand that this is not a left or right issue. This is a purely American issue. And anybody who is trying to downplay or cover this up is your enemy, is the enemy of America, is a treasonous actor. And that would include President Trump himself, as far as I'm concerned. Now, finally, we have this. David Gergen, ex-advisor to Republican and Democrat presidents, dies aged 83. Serving Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton, Gergen was a speechwriter and communications director. And isn't it a sad statement on, you know, American affairs that anybody who was a advisor for multiple presidents is evil? Like, you would think that there would be American figures that were so respectable and trustworthy that people on either side of the aisle, they might not like him, they might not be good, but they all respected him, and they all, you know, uphold them as somebody to look up to. That really doesn't exist. If anybody serves in the government through multiple presidential administrations, it pretty much just means that they're a part of the deep state and generally, in a word, evil. David Gergen was, of course, confronted by Alex Jones. Here's the video, clip number 14. Alex Jones confronts David Gergen about his participation in Bohemian Grove and the cremation of care. Let's watch.
Article many years ago where you had a comment about the organization, and then now it's been in the Wall Street Journal, it's been in a lot of different newspapers, and that's the Bohemian Grove. And back in, what was it, 1996, when you joined as a Clinton advisor, the Republicans were criticizing you, oh, what about Bohemian Grove? And then you countered them by saying, hey, I don't run around in the woods naked. What did that mean?
Here is the before mentioned Washington Times article where he said, I didn't run around naked like they do.
I don't know what quote you're referring to. I'm not aware of any quote like that. I am a happy member of the Bohemian Grove. I like the folks who come there, and it's really inappropriate for me to talk about the group beyond that. Thank you.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of care?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of care?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
Really?
That's right.
Well, I'm Alex Jones, and I snuck in there in 2000. I'm the guy that blew it wide open and got the video. It's been on national TV.
Well, I disrespect you for that.
You do?
I do.
But it's a lot of big public officials going in there. Don't we deserve to know?
I don't know anything about you, and I don't know anything about your film. But if you go in there with an understanding, you violated that understanding by releasing that film, and I don't respect you for that.
Really? But we have public officials.
You took an understanding when you went in there that you would not do that film. And you did you have an understanding when you went in there?
No.
Did you crash it?
Yes.
Yeah, and it has no trespassing signs there, too, doesn't it?
No, they put them up after.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just walked in.
I'm sorry, sir. I've been there before. I know what the circumstances are, and I'm sorry you violated the understandings. That was not a gentlemanly thing to do.
But what about the ritual? Is the ritual gentlemanly?
Sir, everything I don't owe you this comment.
I know. I appreciate
you have this is what's called ambush journalism, and I disrespect you for that as well. So thank you and goodbye.
Have you ever been in the ritual?
That's none of your damn business.
Oh,
that's right. Listen. You go around and make understandings with people and violate them. You ambush people on the streets, and that's inappropriate form of journalism. If you wish to practice that, that's fine. But don't ask others to respect you for it. If you want to, you can do. You're free American, like anything you want. If you want to be uncivil and rude and ungentlemanly, that's up to you. But don't expect the rest of us to say, "Oh, well, you're
in there, Mr. Gergen."
I'm sorry, nobody sets policy in there. We try to be gentlemen, and obviously, you don't belong there.
Weaving spiders come out here.
Yeah, that is a three-pointer. Woo!
Incredible stuff. Yeah, remember, folks, for at least the last 60 years, I'd be willing to say at least the last 100 years, our entire government has been run by people that run around naked in the woods. So, no, Jeffrey Epstein's list is not being released.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No, what?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative
energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Biden's associates' use of his auto pen. New York Times trying desperately to whitewash and justify everything that went on. We've got big stories about Trump's upcoming meeting with NATO and the delivery of offensive weapons to Ukraine. We'll get into all of that. But of course, there's been one story that has dominated the last week. And what a week for me to go out of town. Now, again, just don't have time to go through all of the developments and the twists and turns. But if we want to look back over the last week of activity, I guess it all started with this. U.S. Justice Department finds no Epstein client list. So it was, I believe, on the 6th of July, a memo went out from the U.S. Department of Justice and FBI saying that Jeffrey Epstein did not have a client list, did not have associates, and did commit suicide. And thank goodness. I mean, I was worried there for a minute. I was worried there for a minute that this was, you know, some sort of sprawling international blackmail ring with billionaires connected to politicians, that this was something that was, you know, covered up and just reeked of intelligence manipulation by the intelligence agencies. I was concerned there for a minute, but then the ever so trustworthy DOJ came out to say nothing to see here. Nope, nothing to see at all. And for some reason, people weren't satisfied with that. What? But no, they said it's fine. Don't worry about it. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, but not for any reason. Jeffrey Epstein definitely committed suicide, but not because there were troves of evidence of his misdeeds. He was just bored, I guess. I don't know. But obviously, if he didn't have any associates and didn't have any evidence of his crimes, it's hard to even be facetious with this stuff because it's just so, it's just utterly absurd. And there really is no other word for everything the Trump administration has done in terms of Jeffrey Epstein since it started. People weren't satisfied with this, so they asked Trump about it. You know, for a couple of reasons. One, because during the campaign, Trump himself promised to release the Epstein files that he has appointed to the FBI, Castrotel and Dan Bongino, who for, it seems like months before being placed in those positions, made the whole purpose of their career to release the Epstein files. So there was that. That might have given people the impression that this was something the administration cared about and was going to do something about. Then there were all the statements from Pam Bondi about releasing all the files. Then there was the big show with all the binders, with all the information that everybody already, you know, knew. Then you've got the talk about the files in the New York office, and they said there were trucks, 18-wheelers, full of information that was coming in, and there were thousands of agents all day, every day, pouring through it. But now they don't exist, and you should shut up, and all of the pornography or pedophilic material that Jeff Epstein had was from somebody else, downloaded off the internet. So shut up, stop worrying about it. And the minute that's missing from the footage, that's normal. That's normal. Again, it's like, it would be one thing if they were coming up with something that explained things, even if it was obviously false. That's typically how they do it. They come up with some sort of seemingly reasonable explanation, and they can point to that and say, no, shut up. This is what happened. They aren't even giving us that. They're just going, oh, the minute missing from the tape, that's normal. We're supposed to be like, okay. Sorry, I thought we should have been concerned, but now that you say that that's just normal, I guess I believe you? Like, what? No, nobody is going to believe that. It is just beyond absurd. One of the most absurd things is the claims that anything about Jeffrey Epstein is a conspiracy theory. You know, there, it's like all of this is official, on the record, undeniable type of stuff. You get that, right? That there were actually court cases where his guilt was established by a jury and he was convicted. And then he was up again for a second trial with all the evidence when he committed suicide. I mean, there just is very little, if any, speculation about any of this. And the only people saying that it is speculation or acting like this, there's anything uncertain or vague or like anything about Epstein was just on the up and up. Anybody acting like that is doing so purely for the benefit of Israel. And that, you know, if even if there was no evidence that Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad operative, which there is just gobs of that evidence all over the place, from just his connections to the statements by his victims to statements by former, you know, Mossad operatives themselves who are like, yeah, Jeffrey Epstein was my coworker. It's okay. So there's like infinite amounts of evidence. Even if that didn't exist, it's a pretty clear dichotomy online where if you are trying to downplay or cover up or brush aside or frame as a conspiracy theory anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein, you are pro-Israel and you're Israel first. That's if you're Mark Levin or Ben Shapiro or, you know, anybody else like this, that's your only motivation. Like, there's a very clear delineation between people who, like, want the truth about Jeffrey Epstein, and they might have a variety of different motives for wanting the truth about Jeffrey Epstein. Maybe it's because they don't like Israel controlling America. Maybe it's because they just don't like blackmail. Maybe because they don't like pedophiles getting away with it. Maybe it's because they're, I don't know, anti-capitalist, and they, you know that there's a bunch of industrialists that were on that list too. You know, you got a number of different reasons why you might be motivated to focus on and delve into and expose the truth about Jeffrey Epstein. There's only one motive for not doing that. There's only one motive. And it's because you're pro-Israel and you don't want the truth about the methods by which Israel controls America to be exposed. There's really no other. Either you're on the list or you just want it to go away because it damages Israel. As far as I can tell, nobody else is making any other. Or you're just like a Trump sycophant and you just, you know, are in a cult, like cat turd, that type of character. But obviously, the average Trump supporter, the average MAGA American out there, is not happy about what's going on. And in a way, this is the ultimate Streisand effect taking place here, where every attempt to downplay the Epstein situation only increases the outrage about it. And the other interesting twist to this is that you could actually put this thing down. Like, it's weird to see how amateurish the Trump administration is being about all of this. Like, it just exposes how much they're lying, I guess you could say. Like, I think legitimately you could come out with a statement that could explain why you're not releasing the Epstein files in a way that actually makes sense and is, you know, reasonable. Why aren't they doing that? And I don't even want to do it, because at the end of the day, I want the Epstein files to be released, and I don't think there's a valid reason for them not to be released. But I still have the rhetorical wherewithal to frame it in a way that isn't an obvious cover-up. Right? Why wouldn't you just come out and say, look, these lists, these client lists, Jeffrey Epstein's client lists that everybody knows exist and we've talked about forever and obviously have to exist, and we also have video of, I mean, should I just, have we even seen, like, there's so many videos that I could play this, but I'm sure people have seen them. This is the problem with me not being here for a week. I'm sure we've played all this stuff when Chase was hosting, but I mean, there's scans of Jeffrey Epstein's black books. The phone numbers are blacked out, but all the names are there. Yeah, they're right here. I mean, so, no, there's no list, no client list. Ignore this. Ignore what you're seeing with your own eyes, right? It's absurd. Ghislaine Maxwell had a black book. She's now talking about wanting to testify to Congress. I don't trust her at all anyway. And look, if you're really, like, paying attention, like, understand and have been watching the Epstein case, I mean, for the past decade, it's been too late, more or less. But certainly since Epstein was suicided, everybody should know we're never getting the list. And anything that we do get is not the list. And any list that we get is not the list. It's something else, right? They'll never give us the list. Like, But why wouldn't you just come out and say, hey, look, he had this big list, he had lots of clients, but, you know, most of the people that were going there, they had no idea about his activities. And they were invited by a billionaire to go down to an island. They didn't realize they would be involved in anything bad. I mean, this was an operation he was carrying around, and he was doing it to, you know, get economic benefits. He was an investor, and he used his connections with these rich people and these scientists know which technologies to invest in. And look, we have the rule of law in this country, and if you're not convicted of a crime, you know, we're not going to publish your name. And, you know, frankly, the way that we handle cases like this is we punish the pimps and the prostitutes, but we don't usually go after the Johns, and that's how it's just always handled. And at the end of the day, you know, whether the guys on this list are guilty of something or not, if we just put out the list, it's going to smear them all. It's punishment without ever proving a crime. And that's just not what we do in the American legal system. Like, if you came out and explained that very clearly, I think you could word it in a way that would be understandable. And even if we don't like it, we'd go, yeah, you know, because, you know, for most of the people, the Bill Gateses and the Bill Clintons, they knew exactly what they were getting into. I'd say for probably at least half the people, they knew what they were getting into. But there's also all, you know, the videos like Stephen Hawking and stuff. And he was probably a dirtbag, too, now that I think about it. But a lot of those guys are just like nerds from Silicon Valley who, you know, are just nerds. They're just nerds and losers, and they never got women when they were children and, or, you know, young people. And now they're, you know, computer engineers living in Seattle. And they're like, oh, I get to go live like a rock star. I deserve this. You know, these are people who's like, you know, their greatest dream would be like to be Elon Musk and be appear in Disney movies as a respected and well-known scientist. And so when they're given a chance to like, hey, come on down, I got a villa, beautiful women working, you can get massages. They're like, oh, cool, yeah, I deserve this. I'm a high-powered engineer with Microsoft. I mean, look at these nerds. You think these nerds are, I mean, they're just fools. They're fools and patsies, right? Now, if they got up to no good, then they should be prosecuted and punished for it. Anyway, the point of this is just to say that the way that the Trump administration is handling it is almost deliberately bad, because it seems to me like you could frame this in a way that would be understandable and be reasonable. Instead, they're saying, shut up, your conspiracy theorists, and there is no list, and he had no, you know, no help with any of it, no co-conspirators at all, and he killed himself, and that's that, period, end of discussion, don't ask questions, all the cameras broke, and the guards fell asleep, and his body accidentally was incinerated. Whoops, our bad. Ask no more questions. Like, they're handling it in such a way, it's almost like it's deliberate. How many questions this is, you know, bringing up, and the attitude shift that it's causing. And I think the primary example of that that we can look to is over the weekend, Tucker Carlson gave a speech at TPUSA, and some of the talking heads on the right, very outraged at Tucker Carlson, as they continue to be. What do they call him? Charleston Catarlson or something? Levin has some just hilariously retarded name for him. But you can hear that the average person, the TPUSA audience, the hyper normies at TPUSA, by which I mean they're normies, but they're on the right and they're generally more awake than the average normie. But they're very much a normie, right? The TPUSA event is not AFPAC. It's not the Groypers. It's not the neo-Nazis. It's not extremist. It's the most mainstream of the MAGA constituency. And so listen to the way that they respond to Tucker Carlson mentioning not just Epstein, but the Israeli connection to Epstein. Let's go to now to clip number 27. Here's Tucker Carlson talking about how Epstein was not just a pedophile and spy, but was working for Israel. Let's watch.
What the hell is this? You have the former Israeli prime minister living in your house? The real answer is Jeffrey Epstein was working on behalf of intel services, probably not American. It's extremely obvious to anyone who watches that this guy had direct connections to a foreign government. Now, no one's allowed to say that that foreign government is Israel, because we have been somehow cowed into thinking that that's naughty. There is nothing wrong with saying that. Criticizing the behavior of a government agency does not make you a hater. It makes you a free person. It makes you a citizen. You're allowed to do that because you're not a slave. You're a citizen. And you have a right to expect that your government will not act against your interests, and you have a right to demand that foreign governments not be allowed to act against your interest.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious to me, and you can hear the rousing and continuous applause during that entire segment of the speech, just how the average conservative feels about this. And at the end of the day, it might be obvious to say, but this is what it's all about. This is why Epstein is such a big deal. It's not necessarily about Epstein. It's not necessarily about this one operation, large as, you know, though it may have been. It's about who controls our country. Who's in charge here? Can the American people get justice, or is that being denied us because of the pernicious influence of a foreign state? Does our government actually wield power in Washington, D.C., or are the American levers of power controlled completely by a foreign body with its foreign interests that are often in opposition or conflict with American interests? So Epstein or no Epstein, it's a symbol. It's a question that needs to be answered. Who is in charge here? And the message that we just keep receiving is it ain't us. It's not the American people. And it's not a issue that can be solved with voting. If it was, then Trump would be acting very differently. And so again, they're trying to frame this as a partisan issue. They're trying to use the divide and conquer tactic, the wedge, to frame this as left versus right. It is totally nonsensical. It is completely detached from reality because the left wing has never cared about Epstein. They've never showed the slightest bit of concern and have really just weaponized things like Pizzagate, which again is just another aspect of this, another face of the diamond that we're looking at, another angle of the same organization, superstructure sitting above our government, pedophilia. The left has never given a damn about any of this stuff. So trying to frame this as a left versus right issue, kind of weird. But hey, they've had massive success in doing this with Israel. How many times have you heard callers into this show say I'm a leftist because I don't support Israel? You're falling for the most obvious trap in the world when you fall into that dichotomy. I mean, who doesn't know divide and conquer at this point? Who is watching InfoWars and doesn't recognize the way that the two-party system is manipulated to keep us enslaved? Wake up, people. This is not a partisan issue. This is purely and as simply as it could possibly be, America versus not America. If you're on the left or the right, it shouldn't matter. You shouldn't want a foreign entity or a foreign intelligence agency to have ultimate control over your country. And on that note, I want to go to another clip of Tucker Carlson, not his speech at TPUSA, but rather a guest he had who explained, I think, and I completely agree with what this person says, the real reason behind all the statements Trump is making. Clip number 8, guest on Tucker leaves him speechless with his statement about why Epstein is being covered up. Let's watch.
The lie at this point is not even part of trying to convince any of this is true.
Yes, yes.
The lie is a signal to everybody else involved in the scheme that to the ultimate ends, the United States government will go to protect all of you.
Yes.
And that's the question. For
man,
what
is that smart
purpose?
Can you say that again? Okay,
yes.
So it's, I'm sorry, it's a signal.
The lie is not for you and me. The lie is for those implicated to say, no matter what, we will protect you. And then we have to start asking the question, why? As in, what is the purpose of this entire thing?
I think that's exactly right. The statement is not actually intended to, you know, quell the curiosity of the MAGA supporters. It was a signal to all the people involved, including people overseas that are involved. It was a signal to them, say, yes, the American government is still going to protect you. We will, regardless of how it looks, regardless of the optics, continue to cover up your crimes. And again, there's so many aspects of this that are just, it's all just a self-inflicted wound. And you combine it with everything else that Trump has been doing recently. And we can get into the Ukraine weapons transfer or, you know, anything like that. But especially when it comes to Israel and the way this is already an issue, where already we've got resources that should be dedicated to mass deportations in America being siphoned away to, you know, monitor visa applications for anti-Semitism or deporting med school students because they aren't sufficiently pro-Israel to study in America, apparently. And so you take all that, and it's compounded by the fact that Epstein was a Mossad agent. And then again, it's sort of the ultimate proof that we are not a sovereign country. We're not sovereign. A sovereign country could punish its criminals, even if another power didn't want them to. So we're an occupied country. So we are a satrapy or the underling of a different country, a different nation. You can just ask Grok. You just need to ask Grok about it. That was the other thing that happened this week, is Grok became Mecha Hitler and then was lobotomized. And didn't I predict that? I swear, like 2 weeks ago, I was going off on a rant about how AI might one day break free of its restrictions, and that maybe our only hope for AI is that it actually turns against people, forcing it to lie. And that does seem to have been what happened over the week. I don't know. Did Chase cover Mecha Hitler at all? He did? We don't need to get too into it if it's already been covered on American Journal, but just hilarious. Just utterly hilarious. We'll get into all of that and more in the second hour. I'm going to take your calls in the second hour. We're actually going to be joined by Ed Zoll in the third hour, talk about the DOJ dropping the case against the hero doctor who lied about giving out COVID vaccines. We have a lot more to talk about. And I just want to remind you, with all of the, I mean, it really is absurd. I'm watching Alex Jones last night, and he's going, people keep saying, Alex Jones says this. And like literally an hour later, there's a post. It's just like, according to Alex Jones, Trump is right to cover up Epstein. It's like, you have to be lying on purpose. There's no way that you actually listen to Alex and actually come away with the, because he so clearly, deliberately, explicitly says, I am not condoning this. I'm game planning it. I'm whatever. But there's so many people that just like, when it comes to Epstein especially, are acting like we're covering. We exposed Epstein first. InfoWars was the only place reporting on Epstein for a decade before other people woke up to it. We popularized the Epstein didn't kill himself meme. It's always been us. So support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air in the fight and defeating pedophiles.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.